Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. Today, we're here with me, Kathleen, and Julia, my amazing co-host, to talk about season 46, episode 7, titled Episode Several. Huge shout out to the boy, and as Kenzie calls him, legend this episode, Jelinski. As Mrs. Jelinski, if you've been following along, this meant a lot to me.
I know. Mrs. Jelinski, you had an amazing episode.
Did you see he cut his hair?
Where would I see that?
They were all somewhere recently. Like, all I can explain this is, as I did a 1 second deep dive of why all of these people were together. It was called like Ron Clark or something. And someone probably knows what this is. But for me, it felt
I'm laughing already.
It felt like they all went to this culty religious thing and like played games, survivor games, and it was like a bunch of people. Like, even Sandra was there. It wasn't just New Era, but there was a lot of survivor players there. But Jelinski went, I think that's where I saw a picture of him, and he cut his hair and he looks so much better without that goofy big mane. But
I
told him to, since I'm his wife.
Yeah, I'm laughing because did you see he cut it? Where the fuck would I have seen that?
I meant to send it to you. I almost didn't even recognize him. I was like, who is that?
Was that the same place where Brandon Dolan and Caleb did that TikTok I sent you guys where
no.
Caleb looked sexy?
I feel like that was like a Wendell watch party.
Oh.
But it also could have been that. I don't know. There's so many Survivor things that happen. And we're new to the world. But it seems like we've been watching since 43 live. So since 43, which was probably, what, a year and a half ago or something like that.
That's crazy.
It feels like these things have ramped up. And I don't know if that's because I follow more people. I have a podcast on it now. I'm way more interested and like engaged in the community. But it seems like there's just like so many watch parties and events and things. And it's, for it being like people don't love the new era as much, it's kind of, Survivor's a cult, so what are you gonna do?
Who do you think you would see and be like starstruck? New era?
Anybody? New era?
Really?
No. I'm asking. Is that what you were saying? You're opening it up to anybody? I would say specifically 46, like anyone from Yano. If I saw Banu on the street, I would die. But specifically, Kenzie and Tiff would make me like actually nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Banu wouldn't make me nervous. It would just make me so excited. Kenzie and Tiff, I would want them to be my friend.
Right. We would be like, hey, come on the pod.
Right. How about you?
Banu, we would be like, stay away from this pod.
We'd be like, please don't listen to our first four episodes of our coverage.
What about Mrs. Jelinski? Or Mr. Jelinski?
I see him every night.
I mean, same with me and Tevin. Okay, that's like, this is insane. This is getting out of pocket.
Okay, let's rein it back in. Just for anyone who hasn't listened to the first few, when Jelinski was on, Julia made me choose Jelinski at gunpoint for my for my pool, and he was like such the obvious first boot of the season. Like, he's such a bumbling idiot that she's been calling me Mrs. Jelinski.
And then I luckily go by Miss Tevin.
Yes. And she is Miss Tevin, which is a great, she's a great husband, of course. And I have Jelinski. Okay. So I loved this episode. I loved it when we watched, we were cackling. I loved it on the rewatch. And this is like the first episode where we're on the mic and I can't wait to talk about the challenge.
Completely. I was gagged during that challenge. It was so funny. Ran the show for like just the comedy bits one after another. I mean, we'll talk about his actual strategy, but as far as like making good television for me, he is doing it. And I loved Jeff was like having some fun. Now, do you want to tell me where you're at in your Jeff journey?
Oh my God. I do want to tell you where I'm at my Jeff journey. Okay. So I'm watching Borneo for the first time. And famously, Julia and I have hopped around to all different seasons, but I had never tackled the first season. And I'm obsessed. It's so good. It's making me feel fresh and new. And it's so nice to see like where the show had started and where what it was in the beginning and like just the like roots of it all. Jeff is like shy and he's like, he doesn't know what he's doing quite yet. And you can tell like stuff is like ADR. He might not get like the speeches right when they're at tribal. He doesn't know what questions to ask. And apparently like, behind the scenes, people don't take him seriously, which is just like the funniest thing in the world.
It's hilarious.
And I just love it. It's such good TV. I'm like actively rooting for so many people. And for it being like the year 2000 and like Richard Hatch being gay and like there's Rudy, this like ex-Marine guy who's just like being like, well, he's fat, but he's good. And like all these like things about him. And it just it's so good. I'm like started Wednesday and I'm on episode 7.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're recording this Friday morning. So,
yeah, that's a lot you got done there. That's incredible. And so you're loving Jeff. You're loving Jeff.
Yes. Me and Julia have watched different seasons. We've watched a lot of the same, and I keep like giving her like a rubric of like, these are the ones.
Yeah, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. You got to
watch
this.
And now I was like, throw it out. You got to watch Borneo. It's so good. I love it.
That's wild. Jeff, is he like so green at it that he's having to read off cue cards like he did in that one commercial where he's blatantly looking like in a different direction from the camera?
No, he barely says things. He doesn't narrate the challenges at all. So sometimes during the challenges, I'm like, I can't tell who's winning or what.
Wow.
Because I feel like a lot of times people are like, okay, Jeff, we get it. Shut up. But it's actually nice now that I've seen it without. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Jeff will be like, I'm trying to think of a good example of something like he'll be like, the tribe has spoken. He doesn't have his like little isms stumbling down over yet.
It. Yeah.
Like he'll like stutter on something. Right. And I've never heard him stutter in the other 16 seasons I've seen. I've never heard him stutter. None. The next earliest season I've ever seen was 7. So he gets it together from 1 through 6 for sure.
Wow. That's incredible.
But thank you for asking because I want to talk about that.
Of course. Anytime. Anyways, Jeff was having a great time, as was I during this challenge. Everything from Atlanta, Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Charlie saying Baltimore. Oh. So funny. He got his little like laugh in. The whole episode with Charlie, I feel like they were lingering on such weird, menacing faces from him.
Yes.
So this was like a good Charlie moment in the episode.
Yeah, he had a really like unflattering shot where I think maybe Venus had just talked to him when they get when they get back to the beach before tribal, and he's just like that's the sound crazy that I imagine he was making. Unfortunately,
while we're speaking about the challenge, the reward. This reward was gagging me. They were like
so bad
meat pies, veggie and tuna sandwiches. I'm like, ew, keep it.
Yuck, I know, keep it. Seriously, I would have scraped all the fucking tuna fish off of the bread and then just thrown the bread into the ocean. Like, I don't want any of that. It's so bad. I'd be like Liz, like, I'd rather starve.
Gagged. Oh, we have to talk about Liz, but not quite yet.
Tuna, I think it's her fault they didn't get, like, at least chicken salad.
Right, exactly. Tuna salad? Jesus.
Tuna salad?
Right.
You... Honestly, I'd be like, I'm quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And I texted the group this because I wanted to talk about like the idea of bargaining or negotiating with Jeff. Like, do you see a world with all these game changers and like, we're talking game writ large here. I'm not even talking about like this season or this episode, but like, just let's talk Survivor holistically. Okay. Can you see a world where like, one tribe doesn't get Flint. They keep losing and losing and losing. Then they go, we are all going to quit if you don't give us this.
Yeah. And then honesty, what TV show do you have?
What do you have left?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is absolutely bargaining power with Jeff. I don't think anyone's gotten too far to do that. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel like the new eras, people are such wusses that they wouldn't actually do that. But in Borneo, and this is the last thing I'll say about Borneo, there's this fun challenge. It's a reward where Jeff and a plane are doing a flyover, and both camps have to create something like an SOS distress signal on their beach. And so they have to nominate two people to go to Jeff. Jeff's like explaining the rules and stuff, but he's also showing the reward, which is like, you know, hammocks, Target towels and things like that. And one of the girls is like, Jeff, we want spices. Like, we want spices. We want, including soy sauce, salt, pepper, garlic powder, and was like, whatever. And wow. Then the other guy was like, yeah, yeah, we want a paring knife. Like, we also want a knife to, like, you know, gut a fish or whatever.
Okay, and but what was their like, thing? Like, and if you don't give it to us, we're not competing.
There was no, they were just like, we want this. And Jeff was like, all right, I'll see what I can do. And he gives it to them. Easy as that. No, whatever. But
now he's like stabbing rice in a bag and being like, fuck you guys.
He wasn't Jeff in season one, right? Like, he has to become Jeff and this like figure, this like godly figure to these players. Yes. In season one, they do not respect him. They're like our host at some point. Like, they call him like, it's so good. It's great. It's like,
that's hilarious.
It fills my soul. It really does.
They're like, this Ryan Seacrest over here. This Ryan Seacrest wannabe.
Okay. Let's just go through the challenge because it's the Sifu Caleb special. If anyone watched 45, two people are voted out. One makes jury, one does not. So what was your favorite part between the alphabet game, Jeff saying several minutes, Tim saying, sup, Jeff, and Q having to explain to Jeff what it meant? And then I know this is not going to be your favorite, but Tim shouting out everyone's family as well. Because those were the four big events of the challenge.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I loved all of them.
Same.
For different reasons. I think while we're on this like big Jeff train, it's Q schooling Jeff on what Black people say was so hilarious to me for two reasons. One, because it's schooling Jeff. And two, because Q cannot help himself. He cannot. He's like, Jeff pulled Jeff aside and be like, listen, I think this is how you should be doing. Like, he's trying to coach the host. It is so, he cannot help himself. It's like, it's bleeding into every conversation he has. He just wants to like, and I want to talk about this in a larger context because in this moment it's funny, but I think when we think about it, his game and like this being the through line, like when he's talking to Charlie and saying, you shouldn't have told so-and-so. Venus, that you voted for her. What it's giving up is his inability to be flexible and like have anyone play a game that he can react to that wasn't what he thought it was going to be. He's just so like wants control over it. But in this challenge moment, it was hilarious. And that was probably my favorite. How about you?
Yeah, and we'll get back to that. But let me just say, and this isn't exactly the challenge. It's cute talking about the challenge, but there is no way that he lost that challenge on purpose.
No.
That is like the most man thing to do. He was so mad that Tim said that Hunter's the biggest threat. And we've seen this in other seasons where specifically Panama, I forget his name, but he was like, I've been purposely not showing what I can do in challenges so I don't look like a big threat. Now, that guy actually wasn't doing well in challenges, etc., but like the teams were winning. In this season, there is no way that Q wasn't giving his all in those Yanu challenges when they were losing and losing losing and losing. There's just no way. It's such a douchey thing to say. And it's just not true.
It's not great.
I love him, but I think cuckoo.
I love him too. I think what he did in this round or in this particular challenge when they were, first of all, we talked about this live, but there were three rungs or three tiers to this triangle they were meant to stand on. The base one, they just cut from the episode entirely because by the time they started showing the challenge, they were already on that middle rung. Yep. So in the one transition that we did get, Q fully sits down on the middle part and just like is stretching his legs. And Jeff's like, you have 15 seconds. You don't want to rest for too long. You have to be up and making the transition. Q just did not leave. I believe he did not leave himself enough time between him stretching to be able to execute on the transition. But hey, if we're just gonna like say that we threw it on purpose, I mean, there's nobody who's buying that garbage.
No, absolutely
on or
not.
Off the island. No,
absolutely not. And while we're on Q doing sketchy stuff, let's just quickly touch on him shouting Kenzie out at tribal council. That was him putting Kenzie's name out there as a threat, for sure. It was a really nice thing to do, quote unquote, but you can't compliment someone in that on that stage without it being like, oh shit, Kenzie's really personable. She just won an individual immunity challenge. She held Yanu together when they were falling apart. Like, Kenzie's the link we should get out of Yanu. And I'm mad at him for that. I'm actually mad at him for that.
For someone who's been preaching since Banu days, the importance of knowing what to say when, even when it comes down to tribal, like, that is still part of the game. Q knew exactly what he was doing. So I feel like in the moment, Kenzie is probably like really flattered and honestly like still super soaked. She was super soaked.
She was super soaked.
Super soaked, that hoe. Is that the words?
Superman, that hoe?
Superman.
Super soak works too.
I think so too. I think it's like the same. It's the same meaning.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, she was super stoked that she won the challenge. And she was, I think, just riding that high and feeling really good. And I think it'll take her like a second to clock that. I would be surprised if we don't get a beat where her and Tiff come together in their excellency and say, like, Q's got to go.
Agreed. You had already mentioned the Charlie thing, but Q is not allied with Charlie. So Charlie can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
I keep almost forgetting that Charlie's not in the six because
I mean,
Charlie took that conversation and he's a good game player. He's like, yes, Q, I apologize, Q. And then went in a confessional and said, what the fuck, dude? Well, I'm like really thinking about it. I'm like, why does Q think that he gets to tell everyone how to play the game? Q is not going to win this game. There's no way. Talk about knowing when to hold him and when to fold him. That boy does not know when to hold him anymore. He's not even listening to his own preaching.
No. The flip-flopping with Kenzie and Tiff was, you can tell it. They are very aggravated and nobody wants to be told how to vote. They said it too. It's like, this is a conversation. We are on the same team. Let's work as a unit, as a group, and like figure this out together. It's not just you telling us. And what he's looking for are soldiers. And I think that's why he tried so hard to like make Banu somebody that he could mold. But he's not going to get it with these two women.
Kenzie said, he's going to come up and just say, vote for me, yo. Like, those two are my absolute favorite. They have some of the best friendship chemistry I've seen in a while.
Queen shit. I'm obsessed with them. They would make me nervous if I saw them in real life, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. They're just, Tiff is so funny. Mm-hmm. Tiff, her immediate reactions to everything are really funny. When Q comes back with what Ben said and she's like, dude, if you that was a bluff, you're an idiot.
You're a sucker.
You're such a sucker.
And he's like, I am smart.
I am smarter than you think I am. It's like, well, relax for a second. Let's talk this shit through.
Prove it.
Before we break into those two buckets, because it's really easy to just go through the Kenzie, Tiff, Q, Hunter, Ben, Tim, and then the other six. Let's just talk quickly about Venus attacking Soda for writing her name down, not even giving Soda a chance to explain because she did not write her name down. Venus, once we get to her bucket, is going to be, I have so much to say about Venus.
It is so hard when trust is your only currency to convince someone otherwise. Like,
yeah,
Soda just said at one point, it wasn't me, so you're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which is like, I can't say anything more than give you my word and you either accept it or you don't. If we're going to have to move forward, you got to figure this out. What more convincing can you do? My handwriting looks like this. And I think it was so-and-so. And like, no, if you and I are on the same side, I say something, you take my word for it.
Yep.
And if you don't, there's already this distrust between them because you're asking the question in the first place. It's done. Like, to me, that fracture was like irreparable. Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking on that really quick, we talked about Maria had two votes last week. When she burned her two votes, she wrote in two different handwritings. I would write in a different handwriting every time. I'd write with my left hand. I'd write with my right hand. I write in dots. I write with crazy things. Like, I'd be like bubble letters. No one's going to be able to tell. Like, not even like one of those like handwriting fucking police detectives.
Analysis.
I'd be like, no, I'd be starting my letters on different parts of the words. I'd be doing crazy shit. So no one could tell it was me.
Venus's handwriting is like very tell. You could tell which one was hers.
You know when people do stupid shit, like write in block letters every time or whatever? I would start doing that to like copy somebody else's. Like if someone was doing something stupid, like put a triangle. I feel like Carson did something like.
No, frickin' Colby was writing like with like little hieroglyphs and shit.
Yes. So I would do that.
Terrible.
I would do that. I would just copy like, what other people were doing. Stupid.
Sure.
Last moment is the Ben panic attack, just to mention it. I thought that was a really sweet moment between him and Kenzie. It came up a lot during the episode, I feel like.
Yeah.
People just kept asking about it. Kenzie kept talking about it. But I, in general, I think during it, we were like, okay, Kenzie, we get it. You helped.
Yeah.
But I love Kenzie, so I thought it was really
sweet. Me too. I think she's in a really great spot. I think she's super social. I mean, I think now with the fracture of Sega, like the absolute dismantling pretty much, I think she's in a great spot to like pick up some other friends, some other palos.
Agreed. Okay. Who do you want to talk about first? Maria, Venus, Tevin, Soda, Liz, Charlie, or Kenzie, Tiff, Q, Hunter, Ben, Tim? Which camp?
Let's talk in order of operations.
Okay.
So Tim's not jury, so let's talk about them first.
Okay. Speaking of the Tim and Soda boots, I feel like Tim had such a good exit episode. Soda fizzled so hard.
Really, really flamed out.
She was such a personality in the beginning, enough that Tevin and everyone on Nami was like, Soda's a threat. But it didn't actually seem like people like liked her as much as they were making it seem. I mean, what do we know? We don't get to see everything, but
yeah. The edit was a lot stronger towards her being like this charismatic social threat force in the earlier episodes than it was as of recent. I mean, I hope she still makes royalties off of her little song, her little ditty. But besides that, there's not really like a lot of sticking stuff. I mean, like I think Several's going to stick around more than anything Soda ever did, unfortunately.
Agreed. I'm sure Hunter's happy that a lot of the singing is done, but this is we'll go to the Tim boot. So this is we're at the old Sega camp. We've got 3 Anu, 2 Sega, 1 Nami. So the options are to either go for Hunter as the only Nami, who's like obviously a huge physical threat, or go with Ben or Tim from Sega because they're hellbent on getting a Nami out, which is making the Anus be like, what the fuck? Like, are you playing a Sega game or are you playing like the 6 game? Like, whose game are you actually playing?
Yeah. It's hard because everyone is trying to create as many pathways as they can for their own personal game to carry them to the end. But not all of those pathways can exist at the same time. So I think while Tim is trying to keep, Q called it out, he's trying to keep the power of the 6, the journey 6. Why did I call it that? The power of the 6. He's trying to keep the Sega alliance together. And then he's got his number one in Ben. I do think, though, with knowing that Maria is safe and the only other Sega player over there is Charlie, if I were Tim, my best guess would be that Charlie is likely going to go home.
Right.
So that leaves me with one really less pathway to pour my energy into.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in my opinion, should have been more flexible and open to the idea of going with the power of the 6.
First of all, that's a great point. I wasn't even thinking in his point of view, like, okay, what's going to go down at the other camp? Like, is Sega going to get knocked down a few pegs? Like, which is my best route? Because now I feel like they may just replace Tim with Charlie and be like, we have another 6. A new 6. Because Maria would rather have it been Charlie the whole time anyway.
And Tim would have rather have it been Ben. I listened to his exit press and he's like, I didn't want to tell them who my real number one was, that it was Ben. I just said, I trust Maria.
So, okay, this man. He was doing the Ben thing. He was doing the Sega thing. He was doing the 6 thing.
Yeah.
That's silly. He should have just picked Ben. He really should have just picked Ben.
For the power of the 6?
For the power of the 6. For sure. Right. Why pick someone where you're not sure how they're going to react? Like, Tim just kept being like, you know, I wanted her to suss the situation out for herself. And it's like, okay, what does that do for anybody? What if she was like, I fucking hate these 5 people or whatever?
Or if she was like, yo, you didn't let me in on that. And then she goes and spills the beans about the power of the six to everybody else.
Exactly. And that's what you said when Tim got voted out. You kept being like, so much for the six or whatever. Like you wanted him to call out after he got voted out that there was alliance. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that would have, how crazy would that have been?
Yeah. I mean, because it's been Q's done
whole
before.
Thing was, Q's whole thing was like, why we're not voting for Hunter. Hunter's part of the six. I'm not putting his name on because he's part of the six. Like, and then you're like, Tim's out.
Yeah.
I would have loved if Tim turned around, stomped his foot, punched Jeff in the nose and said, the power of the six.
The power of the six compels you.
And then like shot, use the Banu five finger, like put his hand out and just like blew everybody away with just his force.
Could you imagine if Banu was still playing this game? Like if he was still part of this mix?
Holy shit, doggy. Yeah. No.
He might have been actually good at this like balance challenge though. Cause I feel like he's like a center, you know, center of gravity. But then God might have just knocked him right off because he was God was always fucking up his game.
Yeah. It would have been God for sure.
Okay, wait. All right, let's just quick talk about like what actually happened. So Tim wanted Hunter because, you know, he wanted a Nami out. Then Tiff wants Ben because he's a big personality threat and that more so than Tim. Then Q is like mansplaining to Ben to be like, if we go for Hunter and Hunter puts your name down and then he plays an idol or something, you're going home. Is that okay with you? And Ben's just like, yeah, man, like, that's life. That's Survivor. You got to take risks. And Q's immediately like, it's Ben. Go, Ben.
That's wild. Go, Ben. Go, Ben. Go.
Go, Ben. Go, Ben.
Go, Ben. No, that's insane. And this is like the eighth time he's had to explain like how an idol nullifies the votes. And like, we're not in the 40 fucking sixth season of the show. And these super fans, like, they're like, you realize that if somebody plays an idol, none of the votes count and a vote can ricochet and you're out. Ben goes, that never occurred to me. Oh, my God. Like, come on, Q.
This was at least a tribal where I wasn't sure which Sika was going to go home. I wasn't sure between Tim and Ben. It could have gone either way. And in general, like, I think, again, I said this, but Tim had a really good episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. His funny performance during the challenge was good. His comedic performance of big smiles when Q was like saying stuff. Even when Q was like, my dad told me if I'm not in the fight, then shut up. And then Tim says it back to him later because Q does not stop talking. It was a great goodbye episode. It's such a bummer that he's not on tribal for him. It doesn't really matter for me, but like for him, that's such a bummer that he's not on jury. Sorry, not tribal. I always say that. I always say final tribal and I always say... I always fuck it up. Okay. But quick things that I liked about the tribal was Hunter saying, I'm going to be part of the Yanu. I want to be a Yanu 4.
Yeah.
And he's like, do we adopt him as our Nami baby? Or is he just going to go back to his old family? It was funny. Mm-hmm. We already talked about Q giving Kenzie props. And then I liked when Tim called out Hunter being like, you've never had to show allegiance to anybody. So shut up, basically.
Yeah, I missed that in the first one because he didn't vote.
Yeah, he's never had to vote and he's never been vulnerable either. So even though, even if he could have voted last episode, he wasn't vulnerable. So it really, and the allegiance is, it doesn't matter because it was like a million people voting for a few tiny people. It was like easy.
But it is putting a line in the sand when you vote one way or another.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't have a vote and he was safe. He's not had to make any decisions, really.
Right. And then lastly, Kenzie crying about the boys who got her through to the merge was cute.
Oh, yeah,
I liked that. Because at first I didn't know what she was saying. I was like, why is she giving all these boys shout outs? I forgot that she was on the boy team last episode. So that was cute. Right. I think Kenzie had a great episode.
Agreed.
She was like crying, talking about her winning in her confessional. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is good. I love this girl. Big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
I got to go on Twitter and see what people are saying about her because I know when I checked in the beginning of the season, they were like, she's a rotten high school girl.
They hated her.
And I disagree.
I completely disagree.
Venus is
Venus is a terror.
Let's pivot. So now we're at
she's crazy.
Maria, Venus, Tevin, Soda, Liz, Charlie. And my first thing is just Venus is so fucked up. That's my first note. Because it, right in the beginning, when they're at the feast, she's just like, Maria, my girl, she gave us second life. I'm like, who's your girl? Like, who why is she your girl?
She, I get that she's like great for television, but I think it was really a bad decision for them to have kept her and voted out Soda. I understand people being like, we know Venus's game. We know that she's like really struggling to get a foothold. She's kind of throwing names out there and no one's like really taking her seriously, even though she's trying to take credit for this Soda vote out. We know she's a snake. Like, we know what she's about. So just keep her around, and saying that like they don't know Soda's game. But Soda, I think you had at least a couple more votes before you would have to worry about her turning on anyone and not me. Agreed. So I think it was silly for them to have kept Venus. I understand that she's good television. I agree with it. I love Jeff asking her question in Tribal and her just being like, I'm so glad you asked me, Jeff. Like, in this like, sexy, sultry way. She's like, well, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love it, but she's a menace.
She's a menace.
Yeah.
She's a menace.
And I'm glad that Maria was like, I'm put off by her. She is.
And, oh, yeah.
And that confrontation was like a very real confrontation that I think Maria didn't necessarily have to have with her.
No.
I think Maria actually took a leap by doing that. And Charlie was like in the background, like fake sleeping, being like, oh, my God.
Yeah. You could tell he woke up and like was like, do I want to be part of this conversation? Then was like, nah.
Venus is always, always, always alone. And I think that
yeah.
her issue is in this episode that she thinks that Charlie is the obvious vote, but when it's absolutely not. Charlie was like never actually in danger this episode. So she thinks she's offering Maria and Charlie an option to save Charlie, but it's not the case. She's like, well, I'll just be Nami Strong at the end when Charlie's like, I'll just play my shot in the dark to lie yeah. to her. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll be Nami Strong. She like genuinely thinks Charlie is the option, but no one's actually speaking to her the entire episode. So she doesn't mm-hmm. know that. She's acting like the godfather, being like, I'm trying to help you. And everyone
yeah,
else on the
like,
beach
giving
knows
you a good option. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else on the beach knows that she's scrambling for no fucking reason. And it's kind of sad, but knowing Venus, she's probably just like, I don't care. Whatever.
No. I couldn't stand her being like, obviously Soda's departure, being like, was that you? And her being like, yeah. And she's like, I love you so much. You played an amazing game.
I love you, babe.
You played an amazing game. That's like so patronizing. Like, I'm still here and you're like, you played an amazing game. Like, no, you really, I don't think you thought she did. I think you voted her out.
I agree with that. Yeah, it was really goofy. And Soda was like a toddler who like fell.
Oh my
and
God.
She's like crying and but like being like, I'm fine. Yeah, everything's good.
Oh
she's
my
like,
God.
Oh my God.
And she's like laughing, like oh. Yeah. That was scary.
It was,
that was
tough
like,
to watch.
My rewatch, I was like scared. Cause it was like the stages of grief happening simultaneously and like all way too fast. And like add in manic into that.
Both Tim and Soda cried. Leaving.
No, I was sad for Tim.
Me when he was because he like kept it together and then on the bridge, you're just like
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You snifflins. Okay, couple things. Let's talk about let's just talk about Venus taking credit for Soda's boot because Tevin did actually vote for Venus. So do you think that was a save face to get Soda's jury vote? Or do you think that Tevin changed his mind at the last second and was like, okay, because Tevin voted for Venus, I feel like Tevin actually cannot take credit for that blindside anymore.
I know. It's a little tough, right? Because as the audience, the first mention of Soda we're getting in a serious way from a player who has any traction is the Tevin trying to blindside Soda. Yeah. So in this episode. So I don't know what the switch was. I'm hoping we get a little bit of explanation from Tevin. I think if that was an attempt to try to maintain a jury vote, I think it was a poor one because yeah. I think Soda would respect more the blind side.
I don't know. They
were
tight.
Respected. Yeah, that might have been a little bit different than like your kind of like enemy frenemy of Venus executing it. I don't know why he would have switched the vote. I couldn't think of a reason why.
I don't know either because Tevin was the one talking with Maria and Charlie and Liz and they all voted her out. So I feel like next episode, Tevin's going to explain it, because if not, it's weird. I think that...
Who was the other Venus vote? Hunter?
Tevin and Soda voted for Venus, and then the rest voted for Soda. And so Liz stuck with the original plan. It's not like Tevin said, Liz, switch. We're going, never mind, we're going for Venus.
Yeah.
Because Liz, speaking of Liz, like, she's like, I didn't bring my bag. She was chilling the whole time. She hasn't felt heat one time.
I don't know
if that people just think she's a goat or what, but Liz's game is like so crazy to me.
I'm like, it's so boring.
I know, but it's kind of interesting in its boringness, because she's like sliding by and she's said stupid stuff too, but nobody's talking about her. No one's doing anything. And she could emerge. Like, I've seen seasons where a winner is someone that's kind of slides by in the beginning and then they like turn it up.
Listen, I'll be mad if she wins. There's a lot of people here that I was saying this when we watched Wednesday. Like, I wouldn't mind if so-and-so won. I wouldn't mind if Liz wins, I'll be mad. It'll be like a Gabler, like a he who shall not be named Gobbler.
So next week we have, the next week on is Hunter, tell me about Q being mad at some she's like, she didn't go with my plan, blah, blah, blah. They flash to Tiff when he says it, but I feel like that's a misdirect.
Yeah.
Soda's like flabbergasted at Tribal, and Jeff is like, I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, he's always hyperbolist, but it could be something crazy. Soda looked flabbergasted, but also Soda is so animated that, you know, take everything with a grain of salt type of deal. But.
Okay.
I'm excited that everyone will be merged. It'll be individual immunity. We're not doing any funky stuff anymore, hopefully. So it'll be just like straight up rocking and rolling. And I can't believe next week's already episode 8.
Wow.
I know.
We're just cruising along. Hey, can I ask you something?
Yes, please.
I saw a Twitter from Mariah maybe we posted this in our group chat, but of Mariah being like, me and Jem waiting for Tim at Ponderosa.
Yeah.
How long do those people stay at Ponderosa?
They're there the whole time.
The whole time?
Yes. For some reason, I thought the pre-merge boots and the post-merge boots were like separated. I don't think, because all the pictures that people post, like especially the 45 cast, were posting a ton of Ponderosa pictures, like Caleb and Kelly and all, and Kendra.
But all jury.
Yes. But then I think that they might be separated. If anyone knows this, can you put it in the Discord? Because I don't know the answer to that. But they do go to Ponderosa because they need to keep people under wraps. You can't just like go home
and be like, I'm out.
Yeah. And be like, they're like, you were out there for 2 weeks. Including the like quarantine or the
right
like, beginning piece where you're
so, like Jelinski's just in Ponderosa sipping on like little.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. So Courtney Yates, I think her name is. She's originally from China, but she was also on Heroes, Villains on the Villains Tribe. She's the blonde, tiny blonde. She is such an icon in China. And apparently. And by icon, I mean, she's talking about menace. She's a menace to society. She's like doing talking heads, just like eviscerating people. So funny. But back in the day, they used to cast people as first boots or like second boots. So like design people who don't really watch the show, who are weak in stature, but they're like, this person might be fun. So they pitch it to them as like, you're basically going to get a couple week vacation in Fiji or in China or whatever. So you'll be a first boot. Spoiler alert, Courtney makes it a long time because,
oh my God,
you know, she's
and they
kind
told
of like
her she
goat,
was
going to
be a first boot.
Yeah. So she was not a fan of the show. She was like just there to be a boot and she never got basically.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that has happened multiple times. And I think in Nicaragua, they cast Purple Kelly, as they call her in Nicaragua. And she makes a kind of far too famous exit by her. But yeah. So. For a long time, like, it's a vacation. Like, you're there for the rest, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
That'd be so fun. Be a first or second boot for a show you don't care about, and then you get, like, a free vacation somewhere.
Dude,
cool.
But I'd want to make jury, because, like, I was reading things about the 45 and, like, the jury's time at Ponderosa, and they'd be, like, at the pool, and then they'd be, like, sneaking bottles of wine into their hotel rooms before they had to go to tribal. Like, they'd
That's
be, like, litty
amazing.
Titties.
Yeah.
That's not so fucking fun.
I would be so depressed if I was the first boot before jury.
I know.
Like if I'm Tim.
Yeah. I mean, at least like you want to be the mayor of Ponderosa, as they call it.
Yeah. That was Caleb. He was the mayor of Ponderosa.
He's the mayor of anywhere
else. I know. He's so handsome.
If
they do a new era reboot, like a all-star season, he will for sure be on it.
You think?
I'm hoping for Caleb, a Sabaya. They're probably going to put a Kelly in it from 45 because people love Kelly, but I would want Caleb, Sabaya, and possibly Emily. Those are my three from 45.
The Lulus on.
I feel like that would be the funniest thing to do, is to put the Lulu losers on. That would be hilarious.
They would
want to
mix it up, I think, a little bit more.
Well.
What do you think for 50 now? What are we at? 46?
Jeff, like, confirmed there's no talk of a all-star season right now. But they're going to for 50. 50 is a huge, huge, huge milestone. But I hope it's not just fully new era. I want it to be like all seasons.
I don't think it will be. I think Jeff is just so like new era, hard for new era that like it won't. The old era is dead to him.
They should just do like every 12 or so seasons, pick X amount of people. So like from 1 through 12, there's 5 people. From 13 through 24, like, there's 5. 25 to 36, and then the rest. But they won't
do
that.
Then you get some real old heads in there, I bet.
I know. Anyway, good episode. Good
fun
stuff.
Episode.
All Very right. Slow. Any final thoughts, Miss Tevin?
No, Miss Shalinsky, I think that's all.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be back for episode 8, and we're having fun, and we're going to be individual immunity, which is my favorite part of any season of Survivor. So we'll be back. If you're listening on like a Traders feed or a Survivor feed, go listen to the shows we have on Bingetown TV. We've got Shogun right now. We just finished up Masters of the Air. We have like several animes, and we've got The Boys coming up. We've got House of the Dragon coming up. The Bear we're going to touch base on. So we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up. So go check us out. Hit subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. We are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.